I'm Jeff Booth, and this is The Big Picture here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. Well, today's topic was determined by the State of the Union last night. There were two things that Trump was supposed to talk about. One was abortion, and the other was AIDS. And so before the State of the Union, I decided that today's topic would be whichever the two of those he put the most emphasis on. I'll give you a clue in this simple summary of the State of the Union. President Trump warned that hordes of illegal aliens were crossing the borders to come into your home and abort your baby in its crib. Then they would steal your job. And that basically is the core of what he had to say. Oh yeah, and everybody, let's get together, let's be bipartisan, and let's join hands and stop these stupid investigations of me. So yes, it was about abortion. And we'll talk about AIDS in more detail in the future. He did propose to put an end to AIDS within 10 years. A laudable goal, but as we have seen in his State of the Union address before, he proposes a lot of things and then never follows up. And hopefully he won't follow up on this AIDS thing because the guy who developed his AIDS plan is truly terrifying. But we'll go into that in more detail in a future segment, especially when the administration offers more details, if it ever does. For now, we'll be talking about abortion. And it wasn't that much of an exaggeration to say that he was talking about aborting babies in their crib, because they really have been lately, and I'm talking about the Republican Party as a whole, conflating abortion with killing children after they are born. And the reason they're doing that now is because of two bills in a couple of states where they have been working to change the laws about abortion. Let's look at Trump's actual words from the State of the Union. He said, "Lawmakers in New York cheered with delight upon the passage of legislation that would allow a baby to be ripped from the mother's womb moments before birth. These are living, feeling, beautiful babies who will never get the chance to share their love and dreams with the world." What the perpetually lying president does not mention is that, in the case of this law, those babies would never have been allowed to share their love and dreams with the world because they would not have been viable. They would have died. And what he was primarily referencing was the Reproductive Health Act that was just signed into law by Andrea Cuomo last month. So here's the deal. Before the law was passed, that you couldn't get an abortion after 24 weeks of pregnancy unless your health was threatened. The law created another reason you could have an abortion very late in the pregnancy, and that's if the baby was not going to make it, if it wasn't going to live outside of the womb. And there is a peculiar cruelty to forcing a woman to carry a baby to term only to have to watch it die when it is born. That's an unbelievable cruelty, and there's no point in it. It doesn't make sense. The baby is not going to live. It was also in reference to the now besieged Virginia Democratic Governor Ralph Northam when he supported an abortion rights bill in his state that would also make it easier for women carrying non-viable fetuses to get an abortion late in the pregnancy. Of that, Trump said, and then we had the case of the governor of Virginia where he basically stated he would execute a baby after birth. That's a lie. That's a total lie. And what is particularly egregious about it is that Ralph Northam is a pediatric neurologist. He actually understands the issues of abortion in ways that Trump and most of his followers never, ever could. And look, Trump doesn't give a damn about abortion. This is a man who has insisted on having unprotected sex with the women he cheats on with his wife. So it's bullshit, but it feeds his base, and he has fed them very, very well. So if you were not familiar with the issue and wondered what the hell he was talking about, he was talking about forcing women to give birth to dead babies for no good reason, in the name of anti-abortion extremism. And yes, I think that the abortion movement is fraudulent. I don't think it has anything to do with their love of babies, because they sure as hell don't care about them once they're born. And the very thing that would prevent the need for abortions, better access to birth control, that's something they fight tooth and nail. So, the anti-abortion movement is not grounded in any kind of reality. They lie almost all of the time. They distort the truth about birth and fetal development and science. They are religious extremists. No small number of the anti-abortion movement have murdered, assaulted, vandalized, trespassed, threatened, bombed, and done much more. But the FBI that Trump has tried to convince us is all this liberal organization, but that we all know has always been an extremely conservative, right-leaning organization, is now under his control, despite supposedly being an independent agency. While we might define many of the people in the anti-abortion movement as terrorists, that's not how the FBI sees it. No, the real problem seems to be abortion extremism. And there was a document distributed in 2007 that has just been uncovered. It is the FBI's Abortion Extremism Reference Guide for Law Enforcement. Now, to people in the pro-choice movement, we don't know what an abortion extremist would be. We don't tend to be violent. But to the FBI, pro-choice people are of concern. In the document, it says both pro-life and pro-choice abortion extremists engage in criminal activity and seek to further their ideology wholly in part through force or violence. So we all know what anti-abortion extremism, so what is pro-choice extremism? Well, according to the FBI, it's the fact that abortion rights supporters believe it is their moral duty to protect those who provide or receive abortion services. And I'm quoting from them. Well, yeah, it should be all of our moral duty to protect abortion providers from violence. They go on to say that the catalysm for this type of extremism is criminal activity or violent rhetoric targeting clinics or pro-choice individuals or organizations and restricted access to abortion services. They recognize that this form of supposed extremism is not considered a movement to the extent of pro-life extremism. And this entire movement that they conflate as being somehow equivalent to anti-abortion extremism is based on, and this is in the report, only one pro-choice extremist has been prosecuted, and that person acted independently and without any direct affiliation to a pro-choice group. So the FBI conflates dozens and dozens of what one might call terrorist acts with the action of one man who didn't actually do anything physically. He just threatened the life of two anti-abortion movement leaders, which is wrong. He should have gone to jail for that. But conflating that with all of the extremism from the anti-abortion extremist actions is insane. And to even have a reference guide to it seems nonsensical. The Trump administration has done more to harm women's access to health care, including abortion, than probably any other president. 2 years ago, the Trump administration revived and expanded what has been known as the Mexico City policy, which is known better as the global gag rule that dramatically reduces access to abortion worldwide, and at the same time also reduces access to sexual and reproductive health programs. So it's a big twofer for the president. Even if you've heard of this, what you may not have heard of is that Trump actually went for a threefer, reducing health care expenditures across the board to any organization that has anything at all to do with abortion, even just mentioning the word. And of course, he forced a profoundly unqualified candidate onto the Supreme Court for the sole purpose of, well, okay, it wasn't about abortion, although we know he probably will vote to ban abortion. It's really to protect himself from the legal actions that will rain down on his head for all the crimes he's violated. But a secondary result is a greater likelihood that abortion will be found unconstitutional. Or in perhaps a better case scenario, they'll just undo Roe v. Wade. But all of this is being pushed by the unceasing lies and distortions of science, and we'll probably soon do a Sex Science Sunday on the science distortion of the anti-choice movement. But when you dig deeper into the anti-choice movement, it's not about abortion. It's not really about babies. It's about keeping women in their traditional roles. Subservient, subjugated, pregnant, and in the home raising children where they belong. There is no plan about what to do if you actually ban abortion and force all of those women to come to term because you're going to have incredible costs associated with that that many women can't afford. And you're going to have a lot of babies that aren't wanted that you won't know what to do with.